Shall we pray? Esther chapter 2. Two queens is better than one. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, your servant, thank you for the opportunity to be moved out of the way, that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need conviction, Lord, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Lord, this is your word, and it is true. And we need to understand everything that you have said in this book. There's no mistakes. There's no extra words. No extra names. You put them all there for a purpose. Now help us to see you. In your son's most famous, most precious, sometime most forgotten name, we ask you to be with us today. In Jesus' name, we all say. If you heard the amen, you know the visiting. Make them feel at home. Esther chapter 2. The understanding of the year of chapter 2 can be a little debated, but I'm pretty sure that it started in 479 B.C. The process probably started some 482 B.C. Probably a year after chapter 1, which was started in 486 B.C. Third year of King Xerxes. I was able to go through some of the history books, secular as well as Christian, and it seems as though your pastor was correct that Darius was and is the father of Xerxes. And Xerxes had the big party in chapter 1 because of getting ready to go fight Greece, to kind of get back at Greece whipping his father. Like father, like son. Greece also whipped Xerxes, sent him home with his tail between his legs some 4 years later. Now, the process of getting rid of Vashti, the queen, in chapter 1 definitely was 483. By the time they start looking for a new queen, can be debatable as we look at the words in chapter 2. And even after picking the ladies, there was at least 12 months before they picked Esther as queen, which I believe was she was chosen in 479 B.C. So that brings us up to the dates. And now we're going to see in the Bible as we walk through this book two things. Number one, God is not in a hurry. Let me see if I can repeat that. God is not in a hurry to make you comfortable. He is in a serious hurry to make you righteous. That's why discipline comes a lot faster from the Lord than comfort. You see, God wants to make us righteous today. He's not that concerned about you being comfortable. Number two, there are no decisions that's outside of the wisdom of God. No wisdom, no lack of wisdom, no control and decisions of anybody is outside of the will of God. And the book of Esther shows that so clearly that if you don't slow down and look at it, you'll miss. In other words, do you have non-believers around you making decisions about your life? It's called work. Can I have an amen, somebody? Sometimes we have Christian bosses. Majority of the time, we work in a secular business. There's nothing they can ever say, nothing they can ever choose, nothing they can ever treat you in a way that God is surprised. You know, I've never gone to God to confess a sin and heard him gasp in surprise. You what? I've never been disobedient to God that he didn't already know. I'm just glad that we live in the age of grace, because he could have headed me off and made me hurt before I sinned. But it says it's a good thing we don't live in the book of Ecclesiastes. So there's a time for crying, a time for tears, time for laughter, time for happiness. But if God brought discipline as quick as sin was, there'd be a lot less sin in the church if God took a bat and hit you every time you sin. There'd be a lot of people with knots or ducking a lot. Can I have an amen? What happened to you, sinned? I didn't see that knot last week. So you got two more. Oh, I ran into the door. So that brings us, as Memucan tells the king to send a message out about Vashti, and she needs to be removed from being queen. That secular decision that was made sets up God's promise to protect the Jews hundreds of years before. Do you know that the number one purpose, now check it out, and we are a close second in the church, but the number one purpose of Satan is to destroy the Jewish nation. I can't hear ye. The number one purpose of Satan is to destroy the Jewish nation. Only thing you have to do is walk through history and see how many times Satan has allowed people to rise up to try to destroy the Jewish nation. Can anyone tell me why that is so? Satan wants to defeat the promise of God. And the Savior that is going to defeat him finally was coming through the Jewish nation. Now, who do you think is second if the Jewish nation is first? The bride. The church. They want to destroy the effects of the church. And guess who's the only one that's participating? We are the only ambassadors. We're talking about the second world kingdom here in chapter 2 of the book of Esther. The Persian world dominance. Every world dominance, Babylon was first. Persia was second. Greece was third, and Rome was fourth. Every world government, every world leader sent out ambassadors to tell the people, king is coming. Darius is coming. Cyrus is coming. Xerxes is coming. Alexander the Great is coming. Caesar is coming. Nebuchadnezzar is coming. We want to know, what do you want to make it? Do you want to make it civil, or do you want to make it hostile? That was the nation's only decisions. The ambassadors did not have a right to come up with their own message. The fourth world kingdom, Rome, was dispersed. It was never destroyed. It was dispersed. God's going to call it back for the fifth world kingdom. That is God, Jesus Christ himself, being the leader of the fifth world kingdom. And the church is the ambassadors. And guess what? We're the only ambassadors that's not taking the message. God is going to kill you. You can make it civil, or you can make it hostile when he comes. We are supposed to be the ones that's trying to help them make it civil. And we're trying to love them into their sin. So, are we ready for the sovereignty of God in chapter 2 of the book of Esther. Here we go. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus, I believe that this has taken place, the first verse of chapter 2, is probably taken place in 480 B.C. He's spending the winter in Sardis. After being whipped by the Greeks, he ran back and spent the winter in another place before he got back to Shushan. And while there, he has enough time to think about what has been happening. All of a sudden, he's got time after the war to think about, hey, I got rid of my queen. I got to get another queen because two is better than one. So I got rid of one. I better get some movement on number two. Okay? Now, let me ask you guys a question. Without the secular, humanistic thinking of King Ahasuerus and his supporters to come up with an idea of another queen, could the Jews have been saved from what was trying to take place in Persia? Now, God could have chosen another way. Mordecai is going to say that. But for such a time as this, there was no other way. When you have an opportunity to witness, God can use someone else in that person's life. He is sovereign. Anybody know what that big old East Side word means? Sovereign. Simply means in control. I have a Lord that is in control. Make any decision you want towards me. Make any decision you want towards the church. Make any decision you want towards anyone around me. I can relax in the sovereignty of a God who knows, which is not a bad, it's not difficult today, the number of hairs on my head. Knows when a sparrow falls. Talk to me, church. Sets up flowers. Flowers now. Flowers! Annuals. I'm learning this kind of stuff. Annuals and the other one is perennials. Am I right? Flowing bed. Come on, pastor. Teach them. Teach them. Annuals is just flowers that bloom once a year, and that's all they do. They just grow, turn all kind of color, look pretty, and then just die. And God is concerned about them. Are you not much worthy than they? We don't act like it. Most of the time we as Christians act like we are left alone. Man has control. There's things that just isn't going right, man. Well, God, where are you? He said, I'm right here. The problem is, where are you? Lord, I can't see. That's because you don't have your eyes open spiritually. If you can't find my hands in the situation, God says, look at my face. Concentrate on my face. You see love and control there. But I have to do things like this at times because that's the only way I can get you molded. When the king decided in 480 B.C., I need a new king, a queen for the king. God was already there. And God made man like good looks. Can I have an amen from somebody? God made men like looks. Women don't go with looks. They marry some of the ugliest guys in the world. Can I have an amen? I know, personally. So I can't let nothing happen to my wife. I can't marry up twice. If we're supposed to be serious, this is church. God made man like what he sees with his eyes. You know what else God made man do? Like what he smells. Without the Holy Spirit, a good looking woman with a nice body with high price perfume got us. I don't care what you say. Got us. Nose wide open. Poor, my mom said, your nose so open that poor antifreeze down. Guys, y'all don't like that, do you? But you know it's true. That's why God says, don't take that second look. And he should have wrote in there, don't take that second sniff. I don't take no second looks. I'm smart. I have a first long one. Just kidding. What can I say? You got to know yourself. God made man and he said, I'm going to put the woman in here. I won't. And you know what's so amazing to me? God is so in control. He could have blinded the boy and made him think that she was the best looking. I've seen that happen before. I need a queen. I'm a king without a queen. I'm a rooster without a hen. I'm a bull without a cow. I'm a pig without a sow. King Xerxes needed to be complete. So he decided, you know what is done with Vashti? I got to replace her. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. Did you hear that? Did anyone hear that? What is he going to go out and find for the king? What kind? Fair young virgins. I said this before and I'm going to say it 1,000 times before I get to preaching that God leave me here. Men are in the antiquing business. But they don't like to marry used furniture. So go ahead, girls, lay on your back. Think you're going to keep somebody. As nasty as this old sucker is, Xerxes, he wanted them to go out and find nice, young virgins. How hypocritical. The boy's got, 700 porcupines? In his hair. I'm sorry. Concubine. But he wants you to go out there and find out some virgins for me. Oh. Let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan. The palace, to the house of the woman, of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their beautifying ointment be given them. Girls, come on now. Can you hear the pastor? A year preparation before you can see the king. A year. How would you ladies like to have a whole free year at, come on, give me one. What was that? Gene Juarez. Is that anything like a black barber shop? It's not, okay. not even close, no, okay. Gene Juarez. Okay. Anyone else? What was that one? Elizabeth Arden. Ooh. I don't think she grew up in my neighborhood. A year. Just think about that, girl. You just lay around for a year and be in these big smokers. They got to have these big smokers of incense. And it not only gets on your clothes, but it soaks into your skin. Ah! Then they come up with ointments. And they lavish you with ointments. Hey, fix your hair. Fix your hair. I mean, they got hair. You don't think they got the best hairdressers in the kingdom, in the harem? Now, that's good news and bad news about being put in the harem. One, you have no private, personal life with the king. Even the queen very seldom has an opportunity to be with the king. You're treated well. You're living in some fine stuff. How many of you guys and ladies out there, I want to say this correct. How many of you men and women out there is driving some nice, nasty, lean to the mean 600s and Mercedes Benzes? 740 BMW, Maseratis. I saw a Lamborghini Jeep the other day start crying, confessing my sins all the way up to touching it. Told my brother, pull over. Let me see that thing. You got big houses, big houses. You leave the kitchen at 6:45, get to the bedroom at 9:15. Can I have an amen? That's a crib right there, Jack. Had to stop and take a break from one room to the other. Beautiful houses, but not a home. Many of you got, man, wealth. But you'll be happy to give it up for happiness. You see, if I'm going to be unhappy, I'd rather be unhappy in a Lamborghini than a Volkswagen. Talk to me now. If I'm going to be unhappy, hey, give me a 20-room house than a 2-room house. That way I don't have to run into the people that's making me unhappy. Give me 5 or 6 cars. That way we can drive a different car going to the same place. But if you're happy, it don't take much to satisfy you externally. Some of the freest, happiest, richest people in the world is when we go on our mission trips. Nothing in the house. Don't even know where that next meal is coming from. And it's successfully smiling and happy and enjoying somebody paying them some attention. So is the girl. I mean, she's got it going. Come on, girls. She's got it going. She's going to be taken care of 12 months and let the maiden who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king and he did so. And that amazed. How influential is everyone around the king on the king? Not one time in the book of Ezra did someone suggest something to the king. He said, no, I don't think we ought to do that. Have you read the whole book of Ezra yet? Not once did the king say, well, I don't think that's a good idea. Because he's put his trust in the ones he surrounded himself with. And that's why it's so difficult for people to understand me. If I choose you to work with me, it's because I trust you. And I'm extremely disappointed if you don't live up to the trust that I put in you. Because I don't put my trust in everybody. But when I do, the pastors, the leaders, disciples, women, men, I expect you to be trustworthy. Because I've given you me. And nothing hurts deeper than the ones that's closest to you and try to take advantage of you. Can I have an amen? He listened to the guys he's around. They may not have been the smartest. They may not have been the wisest. But they was his posse. Can I get an amen, somebody? The king had a posse. Road dogs. Y'all know anything about that on this side of the track? You get a road dog, and you know, you take a bullet for a road dog. Roof. Close. And the king was so influenced by those around him that anything they suggested, he took. And guess what God did? He used that characteristic in the king. Verse 5, now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Uh-oh! Anyone got fate bumps yet? Have you ever wondered why, we're going to find out here a little later, that the king's going to appoint Haman? Anyone ever wonder why Haman really hated Mordecai? It goes way back, folks. Goes way back. And isn't it amazing that God just kind of throws these names out? And you and I will oftentimes read the verse, read the names, don't even think anything about it, just keep on going and go, this don't make any sense to me. Isn't it good that we run out of time? It's good to run out of time sometimes. Because, you know, we are over here on the east side and we expect God to stop his spirit moving at 12:30. Black church. One good thing I like about a black church. That is 12:30. That's when the Holy Spirit moves. If you're not 45 minutes over, you hadn't been preaching. Can I have an amen? But I am not in a black church. We at Antioch. So I'm going to quit when I want. Now, we got a long day. So I want to just finish a little bit up to give you a little understanding of what's happening with verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 6, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives, who had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. This is one of the greatest set of verses, 5 and 6, where critics jump on the book of Esther and say it is not right, it is not accurate, and you don't have to believe it. Anyone know why? Because the way it is written, Mordecai has to be about 125 to 27 years old. By the way it's written. And that isn't true. So what is the dealy bar? Amen? Should we get that cleared up? Let's get that cleared up today so we can enjoy the rest of chapter 2 next week. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew. Wanted to make sure that you knew Mordecai was what? A Jew. His name was Mordecai. The son of Jair. Okay, I can understand that. The son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Now that don't make that much sense until you get over to learn about Haman's ancestors. When you find out who Haman's ancestors are, there's a big problem with the Amalekites and the Jews. Does anyone know the big problem with the Amalekites and the Jews with David and Solomon. When God told Saul what he was supposed to do, Mordecai evidently is a descendant of Saul, who whipped on King Agag, who is a descendant of Haman, and tried to wipe their entire family out. God told them to kill every one of them. Now, you know the difference between the Jews and the Arabs? You know why they don't get along? You know why they're never going to get along? Because Sarah told her husband, take that boy and that woman, Hagar and Ishmael, the father of all the Arabs, kick them out, put them in the desert, and let them die. Now, I want to ask you a question. Without God being in the midst of that, do you think someone who tried to wipe out your whole heritage is ever going to be friends? Now you got a little understanding of why God put these names in there so we can do more than just read and understand, get some history behind it, and then check this out. If it happened that Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 2, took Jeconiah and his captives from Jerusalem in 597. He's talking about the descendants of Mordecai was taken with Jeconiah by Nebuchadnezzar, not Mordecai. Can I get an amen from somebody? It is smoking the book of Esther. And I got to cool off because I am hot. I have prayed myself hot. I have studied myself full. And by the time we get through the book of Esther, we better be a different church. In your most precious and glorious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.